Okay, so you might have seen this video out of Shenzhen last Sunday. A delivery guy drops off this small box, right? Labeled humanoid prototype.
Right, I saw that, the unboxing.
Yeah. And like 30 seconds later, this little robot stands up and just says, "I am ready to learn."
And the key thing, it wasn't CGI. That's Boomy. And the price, get this, $1,370. Officially the world's cheapest humanoid.
Which is just wild. I mean, that's less than my phone cost.
Exactly. It's a total disruptor.
Huh.
So today we're doing a deep dive into that stark contrast. You've got this super accessible Boomy, and then you have the luxury option, NEO, at $20,000.
Right. So the mission here is really trying to figure out these two, like, totally different paths for consumer robots. Is it about getting it out there cheap and fast, you know, the Boomy way?
Or is it about really high performance, actual utility, control? That's the NEO approach.
Okay, let's break down Boomy first. Noetics Robotics in Beijing, $1,300 and $370.
Yeah, and it's small, like 3 feet tall, maybe 12 kilos. It's not about cleaning your house.
So what is it about then?
It's a platform. Think of it as a tool for developers, for education. It's got an open programming interface.
Ah, okay. So the strategy is basically volume and velocity. Get the hardware out cheap.
And let the global developer community build the brains, essentially. They're
Oh.
crowdsourcing the algorithm development.
But like, what can it actually do if it doesn't have utility? Isn't it just a, well, an expensive toy?
Well, that's the trade-off, isn't it? The payload is limited. And
Yeah.
reports say the hands aren't very dexterous, not good for complex stuff.
So they sacrificed utility for speed and market access.
Pretty much. Now let's flip to the other side. 1X Technologies, American-Norwegian company. Their NEO.
And this one is 20 grand, or you can subscribe like $500 a month.
That's right. And it's built purely for performance, for being useful and safe around people in, say, a home environment.
Okay, so what does that $20,000 get you in terms of specs?
It's bigger, for starters, 66 pounds. It can carry about 25 kilograms.
Wow. Okay, that's substantial.
And the hands are key, highly precise, 22 degrees of freedom. Plus, it's engineered to be incredibly quiet, just 22 decibels, designed for actual useful work.
So that huge price difference, like over $18,000, that's going to be all hardware, right?
You nailed it. It's what we call the actuator and end effector gap,
Meaning.
meaning you're paying for the expensive industrial-grade bits, the powerful motors, the actuators that give it human-scale strength, and the super precise hands, the end effectors.
So the body, the hardware, that part's kind of solved if you have the cash.
Technically, yes, if you could afford the $20,000 price tag. But that brings us to the other big problem.
The software. Even with the Ferrari hardware, NEO isn't fully autonomous, is it? What's holding that back?
It's this massive hurdle called the 100,000-year data gap.
Okay, explain that. 100,000 years.
It's perspective. Think about how much data, like text and images, we used to train language models. Now imagine training a physical robot. It needs so much more real-world interaction, trial and error.
Way more data than text.
Magnitudes more. And that physical interaction data, especially for complex tasks in messy real-world places like homes, it just doesn't exist at scale yet.
So how does NEO actually learn to do new things then? This is fascinating.
Right, this is the crucial bit. It relies heavily on human teleoperation.
Meaning someone's driving it remotely.
Essentially, yes. 1X has experts who remotely view through the robot's camera and guide it, teaching it complex chores. It confirms that true unsupervised learning in homes is still, well, a long way off.
Okay, but wait. If someone is remotely looking through the robot's camera in my house, that immediately raises a huge privacy flag, doesn't it?
Absolutely. This human-in-the-loop training model means users have to agree to let external operators observe their domestic environment.
Even with blurring faces or setting up no-go zones.
Even with those controls, yeah. It's a fundamental requirement for this training method right now. And that's a massive potential friction point for people actually letting these things into their homes.
Okay, so let's tie this together. Boomy is playing the volume game. Get the hardware out cheap, focus on velocity, let the community build the software.
Right, volume and velocity. Whereas NEO is all about utility and control. Top-tier hardware capable of useful tasks.
But needing that human oversight, that teleoperation, to actually learn and function effectively right now because of the data gap.
Exactly. Two totally different bets on how to get to useful home robots.
So here's the final thought to chew on. The source material points out, and history kind of shows this, that industrial robots often displace jobs and can depress wages, especially in manual labor.
That's a well-documented correlation.
But those were expensive industrial machines. Boomi puts a capable bipedal frame at the price point of, like, a high-end smartphone, $1,370.
Yeah, that changes the economics drastically.
So what happens to the speed, the velocity of displacing low-skill manual work globally when the potential replacement costs less than, say, a month rent in many places? That aggressive budget strategy. What does that mean for the future of work? That's something to really think about.